Have council assembled here. We're scheduled for a 5:30 PM study session. A legislative update from our government affairs person. So unless staff has anything delaying that, we'll start into the presentation. Hello, Holly.
Hello, good evening. Let me adjust this short call.
Yeah, you can bend it over towards you there. Please explain to us what happened in Olympia this year and what we did about it.
Yes, good evening, council, and great to see you all. Apologies for missing the last council meeting. I returned from the Association of Washington Cities Conference and got really sick, but I'm feeling better and greatly appreciate the opportunity to join you all this evening. So again, my name is Holly Cochi, state lobbyist for the city and really serving as your eyes, ears, and voice in Olympia. So before I get started, I wanted to remind you all that I sent over a comprehensive written report regarding the legislative session a few weeks ago. That report has detailed budget summaries, descriptions of each bill that passed the legislature that really may have a nexus with issues relating to city function or Blaine's priorities. It's an 11-page report that I would encourage you to reference if needed, or if you find that type of read enjoyable, read it in its entirety, totally up to you. This evening, I'm going to do my best to recap that lengthy report and provide an overview of the 2023 legislative session, the outcome of the city's legislative priorities, and wrap up by talking about next steps. So we can go to the next slide. All right, the 2023 legislative session was the first time the legislature has conducted their work in person in over 2 years. The public was still able to participate virtually through remote testimony or at public hearings. And as Mayor and Mayor Pro Tem and Mr. Harmon witnessed when visiting during the session, all legislators were in Olympia. And of course, many lobbyists like myself were there in person every day. It was the first year of the biennium and was a long session lasting 105 consecutive days. And the primary objective of a long session is to adopt new biennial budgets, which the legislature did so successfully. The legislature returned on May 16th for a one-day special session to address the Blake decision. Ultimately, a compromise was made and a bill passed, which established knowing drug possession as a gross misdemeanor and public use as a gross misdemeanor as well. In addition to adopting budgets, the legislature considered over 2,156 bills and ultimately passed 485. Because this is the first year of the biennium, any bill that did not pass this year will be reintroduced and reconsidered for the next session. And then for some political context, Democrats held strong majorities in both chambers and set the agenda in terms of what policies they wanted to prioritize. And following the last election cycle, there were 25 new legislators, one in which represents the 42nd district. There were new committee chairs and new caucus leadership. All of this impacted what transpired this session. And we can go on to the next slide. And then as I mentioned, the primary objective of a long session is to adopt budgets, which includes the operating, capital, and transportation budgets. The operating budget funds all state agency operations, the largest of which is the K-12 education system. The 23-25 operating budget is $69.8 million, and some noteworthy allocations include $20 million for grants to local governments for updating and implementing comp plans and development regulations, $152 million to transition individuals living in encampments to housing, over $250 million for various behavioral health services, and $11.3 million for six additional BLIA classes, which is the Basic Law Enforcement Academy. At three new regional academies around the state. The capital budget funds public and nonprofit construction projects that are non-transportation related. It's a $9 billion budget primarily funded through the sale of bonds. There's $95 million in remaining bond capacity for a supplemental budget for next year. And some major investments within that budget are housing and homelessness, behavioral health, and education. And then the third and final budget is the transportation budget. It's a $13.5 billion budget and is the first biennium for implementation of the Move Ahead Washington package, which passed in 2022. Revenues that fund the transportation budget, primarily the gas tax, are continuing to decline. So heading into session, many communities were concerned because the governor's budget delayed funding for key projects around the state. And for the most part, the legislature was able to honor previous commitments it made and provided a phasing of funds over the next 6 years. So there's some predictability in the project planning. This was also the first budget to incorporate the Climate Commitment Act revenues, which are scattered throughout all three budgets. And that money must be spent on carbon reducing programs and projects. We can go on to the next slide. So moving on to discuss the outcome of the city's top priorities, the city identified priorities for the 2023 session that fell really into five categories, two of which were project focus and what you see on that current slide. The first being a capital budget request for $2 million towards the East Blaine Wellfield project, which unfortunately was not funded this session. In the midst of budget development, budget leadership indicated a plan to prioritize local projects that have limited or no other funding opportunities through state grant programs or that serve historically marginalized communities. One grant program that was shared with Rep. Timmons and that he encouraged the city to look into is the CHIP program, which stands for Connecting Housing to Infrastructure Program. And although success obviously is not guaranteed through a grant program, it demonstrates to the legislature that other sources have been pursued before requesting funding directly through the capital budget. I'll also note that the city did receive $500,000 last session for the water pump station to support the utility extension in East Blaine. So demonstrating to the legislature that previously allocated funds will be used in a timely manner is definitely key to securing future funds. So I would just encourage the city to dedicate some time to explore the various grant programs out there, which I believe staff has already begun, especially for state grants. And in preparation for next session, I would also encourage you all to think about local projects that are in the works right now, but could use some funding support where the state could be that last dollar in for the project. The other budget request the city had this session was to transfer the previously allocated funding for the Bell Road intersection project to the grade separation project. This has been a journey, as you all know, but shortly before session began, BNSF shared an interest for the development of the previous concept that the city had anticipated developing with the partnership of WashDOT. But given some engineering challenges and the steep cost of the project, WashDOT worked with the city to come up with an alternative project, which was what was being worked on, the Bell Road intersection project. However, the grade separation has always been the preferred approach, and with the support from BNSF and working to identify other sources of funding, both state and federal, this project has a fighting chance at moving forward. So that's great news. And
For clarity there, that we had originally gotten greenlighted for funding when it was the grade separation we wanted. We converted that funding to the signalization, and we have successfully converted the funding back to the grade separation. That's where we're going?
That is correct, yes. So we worked with budget leadership as well as the 42nd legislators. Both Rep. Timmons and Senator Shoemake ended up being new to their designated transportation committees and serving as vice chairs. So that really put us in a good position. And of course, Rep. Rule is always in great support of this project. So ultimately, yes, the final budget included the transfer, which totals $2.2 million, and all in all, a great accomplishment, especially in the midst of an extremely constrained transportation budget and the desire to make cuts anywhere possible. We can go on to the next slide. The other three priorities the city identified were areas the city took part in advocating for, along with several other communities and stakeholder groups. The first, titled Fiscal Sustainability, I'll share two important highlights. First, the cap of property tax growth at 1%. There were three different bills introduced this session that would have increased that cap to 3%, all in slightly different ways. One of the bills had a public hearing in which the mayor testified before the committee sharing support for the proposal, but unfortunately, none of the bills were voted out of committee. This topic continues to be of interest for many local governments to push And this was the farthest the issue has made it through the legislative process in several years, but unfortunately it didn't make it past the finish line. The second is around state shared revenues. The state did continue to honor their distribution of revenues to local governments, which is noteworthy only because it's often been on the chopping block and cities have had to be on the defense when it comes to state shared revenues. All right, and then next is local transportation preservation and maintenance. The legislature allocated $400 million towards the Public Works Assistance Account, which provides low interest loans to local governments for infrastructure projects. In addition to the influx of funding, payments from previous loan recipients were being diverted to other accounts, but they will be now returning to the Public Works Assistance Account, meaning there will be even more funding available moving forward. And what we continue to face, and what I have mentioned previously, is the ongoing challenge around the transportation budget and the legislature's struggle to find a balance between new projects and taking care of what we already have. So Blaine continues to join other cities and counties throughout the state, emphasizing the importance of maintenance and preservation funding. The budget does not provide any additional funding to maintenance and preservation, but honors the commitments made in 2022 within the Move Ahead Washington package, which increased funding for the Transportation Improvement Board and Complete Streets Grant Program. And then looking ahead, until really there's an implementation of a new source of revenue to replace the declining fuel tax revenues, such as the road usage charge concept, which is being considered, budget constraints will really continue, and funding opportunities for new transportation projects will be far and few between. So again, just emphasizes the city's major accomplishment of locking in that $2.2 million for the Great Separation Project. And lastly, a major priority for the legislature this session was to address the lack of affordable housing options. In terms of the Housing Trust Fund, $400 million was included in the capital budget for the construction and renovation of affordable housing units to serve low-income and special needs populations, including individuals with chronic mental illness, individuals with developmental disabilities, and individuals experiencing homelessness or are in need of permanent supportive housing. There were also hundreds of bills introduced on this topic as well. A few, I'll just note, that passed this session include a fix to the tax increment financing law, which passed in 2021, and allows state-owned infrastructure improvements to be funded through the incremental property taxes generated by a TIF project. So there was a technical correction on that part. Another bill is requiring the construction of at least two accessory dwelling units per lot within urban growth areas, condominium liability reform, providing a SEPA exemption for residential development that is consistent with the comp plan, and providing cities with resources to improve the permitting process. And perhaps the most discussed and longest coming policy was on middle housing. The momentum for this bill has been building for years, and the legislature was motivated to reduce construction costs. And since one of the major cost drivers of new homes is the price of land, the concept behind building more units on the same footprint was appealing to developers and lawmakers. There were easily 10 dozen different versions of this bill over the years, so it can be difficult to keep track of what was included in the version that will become law. It's House Bill 1110. This is solely for your awareness only, since Blaine does not meet the population threshold required in the bill. But many of the state's 281 cities will be required to comply with this new law when they complete their next comp plan. So not applicable to Blaine, but an important piece of legislation to be aware of. I'll just start off by saying what this bill doesn't do. It does not allow for skyrise development in a single family neighborhood. It does not prohibit the construction of single family homes. It does establish a minimum number of units that must be authorized on all lots zoned for residential. So cities with a population of over 25,000 are required to allow a certain number of units per lot on all lots, and with more units per lot being required within a half a mile of a major transit stop. And then House Bill 1628 would have allowed cities to implement a third quarter real estate excise tax for affordable housing projects and programs. That bill did not advance this session, and while it will technically be reintroduced for next session, it's really not common for new revenues to be pushed during an election year. The legislature also did not advance a proposal from the governor to ask voters to approve a $4 billion bond measure for housing. So we can go to the next slide. Okay, so now that session is officially over, special session and all, what's next? I'd encourage the city to consider ways of thanking your legislators, not just for representing the city's interests, but for their dedication of time and energy to public service. You all know that it can be a very thankless job, so receiving encouragement and appreciation from fellow elected officials goes a long way. And I'm happy to brainstorm ideas on this as well. We've done it in the past, and we can come up with new ideas or stick with what we usually do. With all the bills the legislature passed and the funding that was made available, there is still work to do. City staff who already have their plates full will have even more to do in the coming months and years to ensure that the funding allocated to the city is used in the allotted time frame and that projects are delivered. And lastly, I know it sounds crazy since we aren't even technically done with this year, but it's never too soon to begin thinking about what our priorities should be for the 2024 session. In the fall, we can update the city's legislative agenda to reflect items that were accomplished this year and add new items, recognizing it will not be a budget year and it will be a short session. So with that, we can go to the next slide, and I just say thank you for your time and attention and for giving me the opportunity to represent the city of Blaine and Olympia. I greatly appreciate it, and I have a lot of fun doing it, so I appreciate it a lot. And I covered a lot, so if you have any questions that come up later, feel free to reach out. Otherwise, I'm here for questions.
Any members of council have questions for our government affairs person?
I just have a comment, and I know I comment this way every time, but the job you guys do is phenomenal. I think this is one of the last things Dave Wilbrick did before he retired, was hired you guys, and it's been it's 5 or 6 years now. It's been a blessing. You guys have generated so much money for the amount we pay you, so it's wonderful, and I encourage us to keep them in the future because they've been great and brought in a lot of revenue that we don't have to put on the backs of the taxpayers and Blaine. So thanks a lot, Holly. Thank you, team.
Yep. Thank you, Councilmember Davidson.
Any other members of council have any comments or questions of our government affairs representative? Thank you very much for coming. Thank you.
Of course. Of course. Thank you.
Was there nothing else in the work session agenda? Okay, then we're going to stand in recess until the properly scheduled city council meeting at 6 p.m. Thank you very much.